Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Third Realm Integration Podcast. All right, we're here with it. We're going to unpack these four survival archetypes that I just briefly introed last episode. The victim, the prostitute, the saboteur, and the child. And today we're going to dedicate this episode to the complexity of the victim archetype. Now, I just finished watching a documentary on Hulu, and people that aren't of the, Gen Z? The younger generation that we have going on here right now in our society, which is that's a big group. I mean, that's a force right there. So in this generation, I sound so old. Oh my God, this generation, these youngins. When I used to work with teenagers, not even that many years ago, I had heard of this rapper called XXXTentacion. That was his name. People called him X. And I never heard, this was like my first introduction to this cult-following underground phenomena that we have going on in this country in the music space, where us adults, us older folks, have no idea the popularity of some of these, what I would consider like a no-name artist. Not on the radio, not on TV, but a huge hit in the underground scene. And social media has played a huge role in how some of these artists have really come to fame. So I hear about this guy, and I remember listening to some of his songs. There's actually one song that I did listen to and did hear in the documentary that I recognized. But basically, long story short, he ended up getting killed like in 2019. And he was kind of like a young, even Kanye West did come out and say, you know, I wish I had given X props when he was alive, you know, and let him know how much of an impact he made on me. And I even think they remixed a song or something of X's with Kanye on it. But he is kind of like a young Kanye, like a truly tortured soul. At one point had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, was experiencing hallucinations, was hearing voices, and was incredibly tortured. Now, this is probably the first time that I've actually been able to watch a documentary and not cry as a result of it and really get grabbed by the emotional depths of the pain that I can see in the other person. I definitely saw his torture and I definitely saw his pain, but the way his life played out was no surprise, I think, to the viewer of the documentary and all of the people that were interviewed that were his partners and friends and family members. So he was kind of on a path to destruction, knew he wasn't going to live past the age of 21, which he didn't. And there was just a lot of chaos. I mean, just like the ultimate destroyer. And he prided himself on being the villain. And I think it's just so interesting that here I am kind of digging into this victim archetype, writing up some notes and really planning to do even a separate course on these archetypes. And just looking at how the victim and the victimizer are both part of the same thread. Typically, when somebody is a victim, they will inadvertently or unconsciously victimize others without even realizing it. And more likely than not, the victimizer has also been a victim of something, which is how they're raging out and causing harm to other people, even if they're seen primarily as the villain. What did strike me, though, was a girlfriend of his that was interviewed during the documentary that he had physically abused, and he had denied abusing her at the time, but you know, she had photos. She, even before it even got to the point where it outlined the physical abuse, the videos that he had taken of their conversations, it was very clear to me that he was causing some real pain there to her. So I'm kind of like in the space of the victim right now, not myself, but in watching that documentary, it was just natural for me to go back to times in my life in which I had experienced situations even similar to what this girl had been through, and was like, wow, yeah, I've definitely been the victim and have really expressed the victim archetype through the feeling that whatever happened to me, and I put that in quotes because you can't see me, but I emphasize it with my tone that I'm doing air quotes over here, because my number one phrase is that life does not happen to us, it happens with us. So there is some part of us, obviously, that is participating with whatever experience we have. And that is very different than blaming somebody for being responsible for what happened to them. But you are 100% responsible for how you react, how you see the situation. If you see it as, this isn't fair, and how could this have possibly happened to me, and that should have never happened to me. So again, with these shoulds, that will get us into a lot of trouble and definitely put us into the victim archetype. I totally resonated with it, because one huge piece of the victim archetype is really how good it feels when somebody validates your anger, your feeling victimized by whatever happened. If somebody can validate that and align with that and say, like, yeah, that's so true, that should have never happened to you, and you were innocent, you should have never experienced that. That feels really good to somebody who's in the victim archetype. And so there are many different nuances to this pattern of what it means to be the victim. And I'll start again by just saying that anytime you feel activated by something, there is an archetype in you that has come alive and that has been illuminated and that has now been animated. And that's your time to turn inward and look inside and ask yourself what that's all about. So when we kick our consciousness up to the next level and the next level and the next level, we are no longer saying, I just have no idea why that happened to me. I was just an innocent bystander. I did not deserve that, right? And like, of course, nobody deserves to be hurt. But there is a co-regulated interplay that happens between the victim and the victimizer, whether they know each other personally or whether it's just a random act. There is some energetic, unseen, unknown, non-physical interplay that goes back to what contract your soul had with that person to come into your life to cause you to feel like the victim, to victimize you, to assault you, to hurt you, to wrong you. And I think it's so validating when our negative side of our mind stays in that place where we feel like we are now owed something. We were wronged. And that resentment will leave us in a place of feeling entitled to people validating our pain, entitled to receiving love, to seeking it out and looking for somebody that's going to say, you know what? That mother effer should have never done that to you. That should have never happened to you. Really what it comes down to is our experience of being powerless in that situation. We may have been afraid to stand up for ourselves. We may have been fearful to stand up for ourselves. And so when we think about personal boundaries, this is a huge piece. So a lot of times we will get victimized when we don't have a strong sense of what our personal boundaries are and we do not feel empowered to put them in place. Now, I can probably think of a few situations in which I would have maybe typically felt victimized by something that really had nothing to do with my personal boundaries in that moment of the situation. But when you put the whole portrait together, you can kind of see what kind of maybe attention I was drawing in at that time. And to not take it as an isolated event, but to kind of put it into context, now it starts to make sense as to maybe why certain things happened in my life the way they did. Now, there have been plenty of times where things have happened where I have been the total victim and have been really rooted in that archetype, and I receive something from it. I get something from that suffering. And so if you feel like you've ever been in that situation, you got to ask yourself, what do I get out of being in the victim and blaming others for what happened to me, complaining about it, wanting the validation and the sympathy from others? What do I get out of that? Am I getting seen for the first time? Am I getting love and support for the first time? And maybe that's a, you know, maybe in somebody's history, maybe they've never had that. And so now the victim becomes a primary driver of their behavior. So they will lean into that victim because it might be now the primary way in which they unconsciously, maybe not deliberately, although I think we could probably all think of at least one person that we know at some point in our lives that we've crossed paths with that is very conscious about how playing the victim gets them what they want and what they need in return. And so it's all about, you know, what experience we have in which we've been threatened. This is when the victim speaks, when we are vulnerable. And so a situation may play out where it puts us in a vulnerable state. And now it's up for us to decide how we want to respond. So yes, there have been times where I've been victimized and I experience it as a victimization. There have also been plenty of other times where anybody else would have experienced being victimized by whatever the thing was that happened, and I didn't. And it could have brought me to my knees, and it didn't, because it was all based on how I responded. So when we think about things, phrases like, I don't get enough respect, or I don't have boundaries, or whatever happened is not my fault, or the self-victimization piece, it's always my fault, or I don't have the power to change this right now, I don't have a choice in this matter, or this always happens to me, or no one understands me. I love, too, the famous one, when maybe a client comes in for the first time and they say, like, oh, what are you going to do to help me? You know, like, I've tried everything, nothing works. It's like, okay, you're definitely talking to somebody who's in a victim archetype at that point. And so it's deeply rooted in the fear that that person cannot and will not survive, and that they cannot control the circumstances that are beyond them. And this maybe is likely largely unconscious. It's not a conscious thing that I don't believe I'm going to survive. Maybe I think I'm actually a really strong person and that anything that comes my way, I'm just going to survive it. I'm a survivor. But really, most often, at least in my experience, a lot of times when people are like, I'm a survivor of blah, blah, blah. But you just spoke from a wound. Like, you got up and introduced yourself as like, my name is so-and-so, and I'm, you know, a 2-time survivor of breast cancer. And that's like the first way that you introduce yourself. Or, you know, I got to call out the 12-step community. I mean, it doesn't matter how long of a recovery you have behind you. You raise your hand and you have to say, I'm an addict. Hi, I'm Megan Kenny. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic, whatever. Okay, you're totally leading with the wound. You're saying, I'm a victim. There is something beyond me that I cannot control. And here I'm going to tell you about this whole sequence of events, the war stories, about how my life went to shit because I couldn't control something that lived in me. And so what we want in return is we want an apology. This is where this entitlement piece comes in. We want an apology. We want somebody to make it right. We want somebody to make amends. We want love in return. And I think this is where the 12-step community and the, well, maybe not the community, but the 12-step work itself does a really good job of saying, you know, maybe this happened. You participated in it, though, and it's now your responsibility to clean it up. So when we feel powerless over the victimizer, could be the drug, could be a person, could be a situation, what we're now looking for is for somebody to make that right. Righteousness, justice. We want whole. We want to feel whole. We want balance. It's that Libra archetype of the scales. Lady Justice. I want balance and I want it given to me. And then we will draw in or seek out the enabler. Who's the person that will tell you that you are totally justified in being in your suffering and that what happened to you wasn't supposed to happen? Now, I'm not saying that we are to blame. I want to be very clear about this. I think a lot of times once we start doing work on this archetype, people internalize it as I'm the one responsible for what happened to me. In a direct, conscious, literal, physical, matter-based way, no, you're not. But your soul did sign a contract with that person to show up in your life to teach you now how to be the victim. And I always use this example. Maybe you were the guru and the healer in the previous lifetime. And now in this lifetime, in order to establish balance, karma says, now you got to learn this side of the coin. You got to learn what it means to be a victim. And so when we take it from a higher spiritual perspective, that's the essence of what these archetypes mean. Why are they showing up in my life? Why is this happening to me? no matter what I do. I can't fix it. I can't get ahead. I can't. It's like, woe is me. Woe is me. You're missing the bigger spiritual point. And that is that you're just using your human mind to try to rationalize an irrational and unreasonable experience. The truth is that your soul knows exactly what it signed up for and knows exactly what it's doing. And so you've made a contract with the person to enter your life for the time that they did to cause you that pain, because there is something in the scheme of your soul's evolution and how your soul is aiming to balance itself out before it decides it's never going to come back here on this physical plane. It's got to find the balance. It's got to have hit all sides of the human experience. And we will miss that if we just stay in the human mind. And we fail to recognize what our soul's process actually is, that we cannot see, and that takes us many years to find out. So we are not to blame for the physical act that happens. And we are not responsible for that other person's decision to come in and hurt us. The only thing that we are physically responsible for in the human experience is one, how we respond, and two, how to make use of this information. How you are actually going to take this information and make it an ally. What is the message in the experience that you had that made you feel this pain? So it's how you respond. It's how you react first. And then you learn how to figure out it's not about emotionally reacting. It's actually about neutrally responding with stillness. That's number one. And then number two is the question is, now what are you going to do with it? Because you may have not been physically responsible for what happened to you, but you are responsible for now what you do with it and how you want to see the situation. And when we get stuck in that human garbage of the mind, of this wasn't supposed to happen to me, I was not supposed to have a parent like that who did that, and I was not supposed to have siblings like this who did all this. Yeah, you were though. You were. It doesn't feel good to admit that. Or to come to that realization until you anchor yourself in this understanding that your soul is way smarter than your human mind. It actually knows exactly what it's doing. And you are going to benefit from the experience if you let go of the shoulds and what you feel like you were owed. You know, I think we all come into this lifetime and assume that we're owed, you know, parents that are a certain way, friends that are a certain way, family that is a certain way. And that's just not true. And the more we stay stuck in that place of this should have never happened because I was supposed to have a different life, you're going to be stuck in the victim for as long as you live. So it's up to you to now take responsibility about shifting focus and seeing the bigger picture. And the victim is a tough one. The victim is a really tough one. I'm not even going to lie to you right now. We are in the victim more times than we even know. I mean, I am doing a podcast on the victim, and I can guarantee you that even in my adult life right now, there are times where I slip into the victim and I don't even know it. It's that powerful. Because we're going to use the human mind to try to rationalize why it is the situation played out the way that it did. And that just doesn't suffice. It doesn't suffice for the deeper understanding of what's actually going on beneath the surface and what the higher spiritual order is to your life's course. And a lot of times we'll compare ourselves to people in this situation. Well, that didn't happen to so-and-so. Like, why did I deserve that? It's not that you deserved it. It's not like you did anything wrong to deserve that. There was an unconscious interplay, though, even in the physical form between you and the victimizer. And it largely is probably because you are afraid to hold your own boundaries. And you got hooked into a situation because maybe you wanted something out of the deal, too. And so, or there was something that drew you to it. There was some part of you that, some wounded part of you that got satisfied by getting drawn in by the victimizer. I mean, I'll take Ted Bundy, for example. The only people that he was successfully able to harm, at least when he got to the point, when he was breaking in people's houses in the middle of the night. I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched that documentary on him. I think it's on Netflix, where they actually interview the girl that he was dating, like, that whole time. Like, before he started going on his friggin' killing spree. And then, like, her daughter is interviewed. I mean, holy moly. Holy moly. Like, I can't even go there, because when you listen to his girlfriend talk and unpack and explain what he did, how he said things, basically how he manipulated her, I'm like, oh my God, I know at least one person who was like Ted Bundy in the making that I got way too close with at one point in my life. And I just like, it was like hearing myself talk when listening to that woman in that documentary. Now, he was successful in hooking in certain victims at one point in his killing spree. The people that he was, the women that he was trying to abduct in their cars, where he would be like pulled over on the side of the road and pretend like he was broken down. And then he would stop somebody and he would try to lure them in by saying like, oh, can you really help me? I'm like out of gas or something's wrong with my car. The only ones that actually got harmed were the ones that were like, oh, okay, I'll help you. The ones that's empathy, by the way, because like, oh, I've been in that situation before where I've been broken down and I've really wanted somebody to help me. Empathy gonna get you in trouble, okay? Compassion is, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I really can't help you right now, but I'll call 911 for you. See ya, right? Like, not, like, boundary is clear. Not getting close. Because I don't really know what you are, who you are, what you're up to, and what your motives are. But I'm not even going to stick around to find out. That's a good boundary. Now, that's not a brick wall boundary where it's like, get away from me. I don't know who you are, you crazy person. No, that's just probably going to draw him in even closer, actually. It was firm. And it was clear through the energetic exchange that the women that said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, can't help you out in the way that you want me to, but I can do it like this and I can call 911 for you and then I'm going to be on my way. That was clear, not even through the verbal language that they said to him. It was their energy. And then the women that didn't have that firm auric field around them got drawn right in. Why? Because there was something in it for them. They wanted to be helpful in that particular way, and he played right on it. He absolutely 100% knew exactly how to get right in there. And so a lot of times that will happen. Probably 100% of the time, when you're in a situation where you've been victimized, chances are, if you go back and try to trace back all of the events that you could tie to that one situation, there was probably a time or two or several in which you could have and maybe had a gut instinct to go a different way, do a different thing, but there was something that kept you there. I got like a million examples running through my head right now that like so wouldn't even be appropriate to talk about right now. But you got to ask yourself, what was my ego hook? What was I getting out of the deal? What was I looking for? And again, it could just be something as simple as the projection of empathy. That's why you got to look at everything like it's a projection. Because once you do, you're going to start seeing what is the thread that's pulling you into the situation in the first place. What's the payoff? Now, I know Dr. Phil isn't particularly a popular guy. And he's not my type of psychologist, really. I've been trained by plenty of behavioral psychologists, and they have taught me so much. I really do think they really do have something on the ball. But it is not my style, for the most part. However, I remember when a long time ago, when he first came on TV, and he was working with people, I don't even know if it was, I think it was like a Rageaholic episode, like, you know. Some woman bringing her husband on who's like this rageaholic, and he's like he's like addicted to rage. And, you know, the guy's like sitting up there and he's like, I don't want to be like this. And he's like, time out. No, there's a payoff in here. There's a payoff. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep doing it. What's the payoff? I mean, we know what the consequences are, and you feel bad about that. And you see how it's negatively impacting your life for you to rage out on the people around you, the innocent people around you. But there is something that you're getting out of the deal. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep doing it. A lot of times with rageaholics, it's just a discharge of that energy. They're finally like calm after they rage out and explode all that energy out. And so now they're at peace. Now they've just destroyed everybody else around them, but they're at peace. So that's going to unconsciously start creating a pattern. There's a neural pathway there that starts to light up, that before you even know it, there's some deeper part of you that knows, if I rage out, I will end up being calm, which is the number one thing that I don't feel right now that I do want to feel. It's like when I was a teaching assistant for a substance abuse class. And the professor that was teaching the substance abuse was a forensic psychologist, but had very little experience with addiction. And I remember we are in the class and she shows the documentary. I forget the name of it, but it's the one, Cape Cod something. It was about the heroin epidemic in Cape Cod. And this was like a long time ago. And, you know, now I'm a former heroin addict, so I'm saying to myself, like, you know, I'm seeing everything very clearly in my experience of what's going on in this film. And I know the life of an addict, and I've worked with plenty, and I've been in that world, and not really anymore, but I was for a very long time. I know from a clinical side, I know from a personal side, I know from a familial side, I know from the child side. I know too much. It's so much that I don't even want to do that work, because it's like, it just doesn't even excite me. So she shows the film, and at the end of the film, she's like, you know, now everybody, do you see how all of the people in the film, like, we saw how horrible their lives were and how they were very clear about how this heroin addiction was destroying their lives, and they just couldn't stop. There was just no part of them that wanted to do any of what they were doing. And I'm saying to myself, that's not true. How could you possibly say that? Everybody that knows anything about addiction knows that there's a payoff that we get from engaging in that drug. We might not want everything else that comes with it, but we sure as do hell want that escape. We want the veil to be put over us. We want that bubble of protection that we go into when we're actively high. Because the truth is We gravitate towards substances because we can't tolerate what's going on inside. Now, then we use the drug, and now nobody around us can tolerate our behavior, but we can tolerate ourselves. So there's a reinforcing factor there. There's never a behavior that we engage in and keep engaging in that doesn't have some kind of payoff. Of course there's a payoff. And I can tell you all day that every single drug addict that is addicted to drugs right now doesn't actually want to be in the situation that they're in. But that doesn't mean that they're not still getting some payoff, some reward from it. They are. I mean, just think of the dopamine hit. That says enough. That's enough right there. But there's also a behavioral, a psychosocial, a spiritual part of it. You get to numb out. You get to not think. You get to quiet your mind. You get to be on another planet. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to say that somebody is doing something where every single part of them doesn't want to do it. Of course there's a part of them that wants to do it if they're doing it. Hello. You know, it's like, yeah, you're a psychologist. Like, come on. So there's a reinforcing pattern with all of these archetypes. We wouldn't be doing them if they didn't give us some payoff. There is some payout that we get from it, and that's why we keep doing it. For the victim, we get the love, the attention, the validation, the support. We get to now not take responsibility for any part of ourselves, and now we get to project it out and blame it on the external world, the person, the place, the thing. And now that absolves us from having to take the responsibility, because somebody's going to take responsibility, and we're not ready to take it, so who else is going to take it? The perpetrator is going to be the sole one that we put it on. And our justice system reinforces this too. You know, and then we have this whole culture that's like taken this term victim blaming and has totally annihilated the whole thing. So to say for somebody to take responsibility for what their soul came here to do is not anything close to victim blaming. And then we use this term victim blaming to back people up. So we never have to ask anybody that has felt or been victimized to even think of the word self-responsibility. Because now we've backed everybody up. Now you're not even allowed to say it. You're not even allowed to come anywhere near close to it. Because we're just going to throw this word at you. And that's what our culture does in this society. You question anything. You try to bring anything back to self-responsibility. And we're going to stigmatize you. And we're going to back you right up. Because the last thing you want to be called is a victim blamer. And we see this play out in all sorts of areas of this world and particularly this country. So, I'm not going to back up because I work with archetypes and I work with patterns and I know how the human psyche works. If there's anything that I know how the human psyche works because I got one, okay? And I got a pretty complex one. And I've spent my entire life studying it, which is actually how I got brought into this field in the first place. Because I knew something about the psyche even before I started studying it on a professional level. So, the psyche is a complex beast. Yes, it is. And there's always an interplay that goes back and forth. And there's always a role that we play in co-creating the experience. And even if it's too hard for us to say, like, okay, if I go back over the specific thing that happened in which I've been victimized, is there anything that I maybe could have done differently? Now, not blaming self, not victimizing self, because that in and itself is you continuing to carry out the victim archetype. So I just, you know, self-responsibility doesn't now mean let's package self-responsibility into self-victimization, because now you're just keeping the same pattern going. It's kind of like, you know, when I talk to people about, like, you're responsible for your healing. Like, what you think and how you think about things and what you're putting out to the quantum field is going to determine what your reality is. And then they say, oh my God, now my fear is like a million times worse because I know that. Because I know what I'm doing now. I'm hurting myself and I can't stop. It's like, okay, time out. You just took an opportunity for healing and you just turned it into yourself now being the victim. So the pattern is going to play out and even the attempt to try to get the information that we need in order to heal. It's like when you work with astrology, you kind of sometimes have to be a little careful as to who you break down some of the astrological concepts with. Because a lot of times people will just say, oh no, that's going to happen in the future, or that's what I'm in relationship. I don't do predictive astrology, but that's what I'm in relationship with. Oh no, what does that mean now? Now what's going to happen? It's like, whoa. You now just took the information and you just facilitated the victim archetype, even in the information that is meant to help you heal. And so if you're in the victim archetype, you will find a way to bring it forward. If you don't do the work to get really super, super clear about what is actually going on underneath the surface. And how a pattern is a pattern is a pattern. And it's going to show up inside a session. It's going to show up outside a session. It's going to show up with your friends, your family. It's going to show up in your process of healing also. Because it's deeply, deeply rooted. And so all the work about looking at the archetype is so now you can take 100% self-responsibility. And a lot of times, if the victim archetype is too deeply ingrained, that idea of taking 100% self-responsibility is actually not of interest. Because I get too much out of being the victim. So what's the payoff for me to heal? Because if I heal, then people no longer pay attention to me in the way that I've manipulated them into paying attention to me and validating me and serving me all these years. So truth means change has to happen. And that's the reason why people don't heal. The people that don't heal, that's the reason why. Because they're not willing to change what they get from the pain and suffering. And so, and by the way, I just want to be clear about this because I've also worked with childhood trauma abusers or survivors, I should say. People that have experienced childhood abuse. And when we're a child, we are easily victimized because we are innocent and we are powerless. The problem is that if that archetype follows us into adulthood, that's where it starts to cause the real problems. And that's the age that I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about a child participating in how they are experiencing suffering or what suffering gets enacted on them. Their psyche's not even developed enough to even co-create that. And a lot of times, the victim archetype that lives in our adulthood does come from the wounded child. So I'm talking about adults here, not children. I just want to make that clear. And so the ultimate answer as to how and why we want to get clear and as conscious as possible about our inner victim is because it is the only way that we can shift into being the victor. That's when we become triumphant over the victimization. Is when we change the message, our perception of the message in the suffering itself, and then we use it for our highest good. So inherent in the victim is the perpetrator, and it is also the victor. And if we want to be triumphant, we actually have to go deeper into the victim and try to figure out what the message is. It's the only way that we can shift to the other side. Because if we keep just seeing ourselves as the victim and we want the world to change it for us, nothing's ever going to change. And the soul said, in your lifetime, it is your responsibility to learn what it means to be the victim and find the higher truth in that archetype, in that pattern, in that experience, and shift that into empowerment. And that's what this is all about. So I'm going to leave it there. Hopefully that was a good nugget of information. To trust that if you are feeling victimized and you are having that experience, that there is a bigger message here that your soul is begging you to find out and discover. And through that, you will find your self-empowerment. And then nobody has power over you at that point. Because now it's all up to how you perceive and experience the situation and what message you're going to take from it and what you're going to do with it. Power to the people, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so I will leave it there. It's been real, you guys. It has been real. It's so funny. I'll just say real quick. So I've been taking this Hakomi, I think that's how you say it, supplement at night. It's a third eye awakening supplement. You take it at night before you go to sleep. And I'm looking at the time of how long this episode has been, 36 minutes. And This is a strange thing that keeps happening. I've only been taking this for a couple nights, and time seems to not exist. Like it's just like going. It's like going really fast. So this has been like a 36, 37 minute episode, and I'm just sharing my inner experience here. It feels like it's been 5 minutes. I just want to say that. Hakomi. Yeah, I'm not even sure actually how I feel about it. We'll see how this plays out, but. All right, you guys, I'm going to leave it there. It has been real, really real today, really real. I empower you guys to take a look at how deeply rooted is the victim in you? Where does it show up? What areas of your life? How does it hurt you? But most importantly, how does it help you? Because sometimes the deeper we go into the victim is where we find our inner savior. All right, you guys, to the next episode. I will catch you later. Be well, everybody. And don't forget, may the light always lead your way. I'll see you next time. The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. Okay, right here, a quote from French priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. In the final analysis, the questions of why bad things happen to good people transmutes itself into some very different questions, no longer asking why something happened, but asking how we will respond, what we intend to do now that it happened.